John wrote and said, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. My little children, these things write unto you." He, as the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him, wrote with an unction concerning those of God's children for their well-being, and which should be the desire of each one of us, and certainly should be mine for each one of you. I want to use some scripture out of the fourth chapter of 1 John this morning. It is scripture that all of you are familiar with. If you're not familiar with it, you need to be familiar with it. And it's not just enough to be familiar with it. It needs to be practiced by each and every one of us more than what we do. And I'm at the top of the list. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Yeah, sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Sounds pretty simple. I'm reminded many times of what Shirley used to say to our daughter, and I find that to be more profound as the years go by. She would say, "Diamla, I love you, but I don't like you." Now, that wasn't always the case, you know, and that wasn't every day, but there were times whenever that Diamla done things that didn't meet with her mom's approval. But there is not a single one of us here this morning who have not done things that have not met with someone else's approval. And I am certain this morning there is not a single one of us as a child of God who have not done some things in our lives that God does not approve of and is not pleased about, and he still loves us, so he may not like us. You got me? You hear me? You know what we're talking about then? When God redeems the soul, the first thing that happens is that he places peace in that of individual's heart. That's how you identify salvation. It's not by how much noise can be made. It's not by what kind of an outward demonstration that you can make, but what God does in our heart. And he places peace in our heart. It takes away, the Bible teaches, a stony heart and makes it a heart of flesh. He gives us feelings. I know there's been a lot said both ways, pro and con, on this concept of following our feelings. And sometimes we need to follow our feelings, but there are times that our feelings are wrong. They're not always right. And so we need to be very careful when we just take a real hard nose position that says, "I'm going to follow my feelings no matter what," because you may be wrong sometimes. But when God took the old stony heart, he placed a heart of flesh in each one of us. I kiddingly say to people from time to time that we've, in my lifetime, come to realize that there is such a thing, and anymore it's very common to have heart transplants. And we do all kinds of things with the hearts. But let me tell you, long before medical science discovered something about heart transplants, God had already implemented it many, many ages ago, whenever that he took an old stony heart out and placed a heart of flesh and of love and joy and happiness and peace in each one of those whom he redeemed. And so we became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so when God places peace in your heart, that's the first thing, and we need to have that peace in our hearts and our lives. And that's how we identify whether or not we are one of his children, is whether or not we have peace with God in our hearts. And then he gives us joy, happiness, but he also included love in there. And the Apostle Paul wrote an entire chapter about this thing called love. He writes more than just one chapter, but he certainly includes it. But John writes here concerning that. And he says, Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another. We all know that there's enough hatred and there's enough strife and there's enough trouble in people's lives today that we don't need to be adding to that. I made the statement when I first came back to Missouri this time and I accepted the church of Wheatland and the church here. You know, I did not come back here to be trouble. I did not come back here to be a trouble to anyone. You already have enough trouble. You didn't need any more out of me. I came back to preach the word of the Lord, to tell about him. And it's important that we understand that. We need to understand what it means whenever the Bible says, let us love one another. We need to love one another. One of my themes over the last 20 plus years has been to tell people you love them. To say, I love you. Let people hear that. Let those you care about know that you love them. This is where they can tell that I love them. That's not enough. Don't cop out on me like that. Some of you, that's a strange expression to have to make. But if you've got some love in your heart for somebody else, sometimes you need to say, I love you. I love you. Now, don't say it because the preacher got up there and told me to. Don't go out here and say, well, my pastor got up and said that I was supposed to tell you I love you. Well, if that's the only reason you're going to tell him, don't tell him, because that's not true. But God places love in our hearts, and we need to be able to share that love. And John, right into the little, he considered them as little children. Now, they weren't all infants. They weren't all young 6, 7, 8 year olds. He was talking about those who were, he considered his family, those people he loved. And he considered them as little children. One of the things that I think of, and sometimes I forget, is that I don't have a flock that's all at the same level in their spiritual life. And so it's my responsibility to not only sometimes feed those of you who are able to handle the strong meat, but to give to those who still are on the sincere milk of the Word, who are still infants, who are still toddlers, who are still trying to learn what the Word of the Lord says. But it's also my responsibility then to see that I preach unto you what thus saith the Lord, so that those of you who are strong and who are adults can then continue to grow in the works of the Lord. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. That seems so simple. That sounds so easy. But the Bible also says those that don't love him know him not. Those who don't love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, see, God gives us a perfect example of love. He gave his Son. He sent his only Son into the world. Now, I know some of you get caught up on the word begotten in here. Well, I'm not talking about the begotten right now. I'm talking about the Son of God. He was always Son of God. Never any begotten about it. That was whenever he came into the world as a child. But let me tell you something this morning. God the Father loved us enough and loved this world enough and loved those people before us and those who will come after us enough that he said, I will send my Son. that he might be the propitiation for our sins. He loves us. Does he love the world? No, he doesn't love the world. Doesn't say anything about him loving the world. But he said he loves us. Loves us. We've got a terrible misconception today, and so many of our people have it, that God just loves everything, loves everybody. Let me tell you, there's some things God does not love. God has never loved sin. Never. It's always been his enemy. That'll be the last enemy that will be destroyed. But God loves us. And he cared enough for each one of us as individuals to send his son. And his son loved us. No question about that. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now this is going to get a little heavy before I get through here. So you just need to kind of ride along right now with me. I'll lose some of you at the end. I guarantee you I will. Because some of what God teaches in his word is a little bit tough. And some of you aren't going to like what he says in his word. But I'm sorry, his word is going to stand. It isn't my word. And don't start looking around to see maybe who the preacher is going to be talking about. Or maybe he's talking about you. I know it'll talk about me. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. Now keep that, write that down somewhere. Whether you're just a babe in Christ or whether you're one that can handle the strong meat, you just remember that, what the Bible says. No man has seen God at any time. So when you hear someone get up and say, "Oh, I saw God, I saw the Lord," they never saw him. They did not see him. They may have thought they did. In their mind, they may have. Let me tell you something. The Bible very clearly says no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another. You see where I'm getting at? We've got to love one another, people. And you can't just decide all at once you're going to manufacture this thing. It's got to come out of your heart. It's got to be sincere. And the only way that it can be that way and the only way it's going to work is that you've got a good relationship and you've got a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John said, you know, we've seen and testify. I'm a witness to that, John said, that the Father sent the Son here into the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Said it again. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Some of you probably begin to wonder, well, what's this old boy? Let's see. He heated up this morning about love. Well, I'm not so heated up about it, excepting this one fact, and knows that we've got a scarcity of it today. We've got too many people who the only thing that they love is themselves. The only thing that they love is what's in it for them. And again, that goes back to just being selfish love. I'm not talking about that kind of love this morning. I'm talking about a godly love. A godly love that is willing to share, is willing to love other people, is willing to forgive other people, is willing to understand other people. We've gotten away from that, people. We just can't seem to get that. We're so intolerant anymore of anything and everything and everybody. You know, if you're not going to do it my way, there is no way. Let me assure you that that's not according to the word of the Lord. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. I can remember hearing my pastor years and years ago say, you know, that whenever that we get the love of God in our heart, and whenever that we truly love one another, it'll cover a multitude of sins than everybody else. Yeah. Whenever that we truly start loving one another, it's a lot easier to love you. And whenever I can feel love in my own heart, and it makes your sins a lot less than what I thought they were before. One of the things, and I spoke this at a service this week, I again had the unfortunate experience of conducting a couple of funerals, a memorial service, and I said, you know, that one of the things that our people are so guilty of, we who run under the banner of Christianity, are the most judgmental people there are in the world. We pass judgment upon everyone else so quickly. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to stand in judgment for any single one of you. And you aren't going to be there for me. And when you stand there, you aren't going to be able to say, well, it is Kent Parsons' fault. Nuh-uh. I can't say, well, it's old Stan's fault that I didn't do what I should have done. No, it's not going to fly, folks. I'm going to be accountable for myself. When I stand, and I always say that, and as soon as I say it, I think, I'm not sure I can stand. I really don't know. It says we'll all stand before the judgment seat of God. I'm not sure that I'll ever be able to stand, Ronnie. I really think that I will fall in the great, powerful presence of the Lord. Not in fear, but in respect and honor of the greatest that there has ever been. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If any man says he loves God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. That's not mine. That's right out of the Word of the Lord. Now, if you don't have a King James Version, it may have changed a little bit. I don't know what it reads. But I'm reading you out of the King James Version. And that's a word that most people understand. So if it's different in yours, I suspect it will probably been softened a little bit. But I'm going to tell you right now, the meaning is not going to change. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? My little children, I'm writing these things to you, and I'm writing them in such a simple way that you can understand it. Somewhere, Liel, I've missed something in my reading there, because I was sure going to mention to you that there's only that one commandment that we have to remember. Liel and I have a thing. We were always talking, she's always talking about the Ten Commandments, and I'm always telling her there's only two that you really have to worry about. And I love you, and we kid that. But I hope it's in good spirit, because, yeah, it's in good spirits anyway. But I always tell her there's just two you got to worry about, you got to remember. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And the second is likewise, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. They see, both of them got love in there. And you have to love. Yeah. And if you can love your neighbor as yourself, you're probably not going to have to worry about all those other eight or nine. Guarantee you that by the word of the Lord. He that saith he loveth God and hateth his brother is a liar. Now let me give you another scripture that will fit in with that just a little bit. And y'all, you who are on the strong meat, you go home and cogitate on this one a little bit. He that hateth his brother is a murderer. Pretty strong, but that's the word of the Lord. Yeah. One I always get when people say, well, now don't tell me that you believe that somebody can go out here and kill someone and that they're going to go to heaven if they've been saved sometime. I say, yes, I do. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that with everything that is about me. First of all, they won't have done that if they're in the right mind. But it does happen, I'm sure. But I'll guarantee you, if they've ever been a child of God, they're still going to go to heaven. I said, well, now, wait a minute. You just told me if they went out here and they murdered someone. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Are you going to tell me now that somebody that hates his brother isn't going to go to heaven? Oh, I didn't say that, preacher. I didn't say that. No, 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 I'm not going to. Well, you can't have it both ways. Either you do or you don't. Either you love the person, you love your neighbor, you love your friend, you love your brethren, or you don't. It isn't any halfway in between. The Bible very clearly teaches, he that hateth his brother. But well, I don't hate him. I just don't like him. Well, what's the line there? Where is that line? There's most every one of you. There are some things probably you do I don't like, but I don't hate you, and I don't dislike you for that. It's some of the things, but I'm the same way. Some of you don't like it because I'm up here saying what I'm saying this morning. That's okay. I hope you don't hate me, because you do, you're in trouble. Yeah. If I was to get up here and say I hate you, and it was coming from my heart, I'd be in trouble. First thing you ought to do is, well, get out of the pulpit. We don't need a preacher in here who doesn't know the Lord. Listen. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? Will I recognize who God is when I get over on the other side? Absolutely. I'll know him just like that, and yet I've never seen him. Am I going to know the Lord Jesus Christ when I get over on the other side? Absolutely, and yet I've never seen him. The apostles were blessed to be able to have seen him as he walked here upon the face of the earth. Many other people saw him. Many people recognized him, and many people didn't recognize him as being the Son of God. But I will guarantee you, I'm going to know who he is as soon as I walk in, and he's there. I'll know who he is. Bible teaches that. I'll know who you are. If you're there, if you're not there, I'm still going to know who you are. I don't know how that's all going to work, because I don't know how I'm going to recognize those of you down in hell. But you might remember that Abraham, when he spoke to the rich man, he identified him. He said, you remember, while you were down there on earth, you had the good things. And likewise, Lazarus, the evil. Now he is comforted, and thou art in torment. So he knew who he was. Now that's not for you that are on the sincere milk of the word yet. And I'm just barely above that. But for those of you who are Bible scholars, you come to me sometime and explain that to me. But you're going to have to make it awful simple, because I don't understand some of those things. Those are pretty complicated. I don't understand how heaven can be heaven if people are able to look down here and see us. I don't know that they do. I've not found any scripture to substantiate that yet. I do find scripture that says there are those in heaven who are calling out and crying out and say, how long? How long till our blood is avenged on those who have done what they've done down there on the earth to us? In heaven? That's what it says. I don't understand it, Stan. There's a lot of things in the Word I don't understand, but I believe it because it's the Word of the Lord. Yeah. There's one thing I do know. I know we've got a shortage of love, and I've never seen a time when there's more people running around telling how much they love the Lord and hating their brethren so much. You can't have it that way, folks. That's as hypocritical as you can get. Don't fly. How can you love the Lord whom you've never seen and hate your brother that's right there in front of you? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That's the commandment. You know how many times that's spoken of in the Word of the Lord in the writings of the New Testament? Several. Jesus spoke it a number of times and said we were to love one another. We ought to love our neighbor. Well, the reason we are, we're one of his children, and he gave us love. And that's one of those commodities, if you want to call it a commodity, that you can't exhaust. You can't run out of it. Don't act like that you can. Don't be afraid that, I've just got so much love to give, and then I'll be out. God will just keep filling you up and filling you up and filling you up. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit. I believe in the filling of the Holy Spirit and the refilling of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. God continues to place love in our heart as one of his children. And we need to demonstrate it. We need to show it. We need to let it be known. To do otherwise just isn't going to fly.